Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources is open. We're going to start with Senate Bill 765. Senator, if you want to make your way up to the table with whoever you would like to bring, I'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 765. Sue, if you could.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 765 requires local governments to project the amount of space presently used for manufactured dwellings within urban growth boundaries that will be converted to another use, and to plan and zone to establish a sufficient amount of affordable space for manufactured dwellings outside the urban growth boundaries. And for the record, we've received two letters, one from the League of Women Voters in opposition to the measure, and one from 1,000 Friends, also in opposition.
Senator, before you get started, I did notice that we've got seven or eight people signed up, many who want to give some type of vociferous testimony against the bill, but we're going to give Senator Morissette 20 minutes to make his case.
Okay.
Now, folks, we are set for a public hearing today. The bill is not going to move to a work session this session, not just today, but it is a bill that the committee has particular interest in and believes there's a need for, but it will not move to a work session. So for all of those who came down to beat up on it, just keep that in mind when you give your 2 minutes of testimony, okay?
Save it for next session.
Yeah, save it for, yeah, be brief. Senator, glad to have you here.
Thank you, Senator Bill Morissette, Senate District 6, Linn County and parts of Linn County. I signed on to this bill. I am the chief co-sponsor of this bill, knowing that it is not a perfect bill. But because the problem is, I think, very significant and becoming a crisis in many areas, including the city of Springfield. We have a riverfront area that we recently annexed that will be redeveloped. And there are four parks in that area, two of which are on the river, in the riverfront property, and they will be displaced. And I have a real concern about where people are going to go. That's affordable, land that is affordable, and I think we need to plan ahead. We need to identify land. Now, I would prefer it to be within the urban growth boundary. I would prefer it to be available for sewer hookup and on a transportation route, because many seniors need transportation. Many people who live in parks need transportation. So recognizing this is not a perfect bill, I think the problem is significant enough to really, really focus on. And so I will end my testimony and turn it over to Pat Swaby, who is an expert in this. I've worked with Pat in the past. And we'll continue to work on the concept that is contained in the bill.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Schwach, good morning.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Pat Schwach, Manufactured Homeowners. I realize this bill's not going anyplace, but I agree with the senator. We have a real acute problem, and as Senator Avakian is certainly aware of, we had lots of that going on in Washington County last year. I think maybe it was the year before. I'm beginning to wonder. But in any event, what happens to these homes that we displace when there are no spaces to put them? It's bad enough they lose their immediate community, but it's even worse when we don't have any place to move these homes. And as I was saying to Don a while ago, you know, I can remember when people lived out in the country and they had wells and septic tanks, but apparently that's not popular anymore. But there has to be some answers to all of this, and I don't know what it is. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this bill. So there goes my presumptive close on when will the bill move. Never mind. The problem here is significant. And it's
Don, go ahead and just say your name. For the
Don Miner, Oregon Manufactured Housing Association. Last evening, the House Consumer Affairs Committee passed House Bill 2735 that creates a revenue source or a funding stream to help folks who are forced to move their homes pay for that move. And what we're hoping to do with this bill, or a subsequent bill at least, is create a place for them to move to. In years gone by, you know, it was mobile home parks were put in industrial and commercial zones. It was expected that they would close and folks would go away. You were talking about, in those days, old single-wide mobile homes. Today, Mike Burton, when he was in the House of Representatives, Bob Repine, changed the law to prohibit placement of manufactured dwellings in anything other than a residential zone. And it was expected that these would be permanent houses, that they would never be forced to move. They're not designed to be moved except from the factory to the building site. We're now seeing parks, new parks, you know, 6, 8, 10 years old, closed, and all the homes forced to move. And these are homes with long-term mortgages people spent, in many cases, their life savings on. If there's no place to move the home to, it's just a complete economic disaster for them. Now, we recognize that it would be better for these parks to... Our first preference would be that they not close, that the cities not change the zoning on them to allow more intense residential uses, that they be kept in the 6, 7 to the acre zoning categories that they were designed for. But failing that, that other land be found within the urban growth boundaries for these homes that they're forced to move. Earlier in the session, this committee considered Senate Bill 187. It was the governor's bill, DLCD's bill, that expedited or created an expedited process to expand the UGBs to accommodate displaced manufactured home parks as well as other types of affordable housing. As my recollection, it's some of the same folks who are in opposition to allowing the homes outside of the UGB also spoke in opposition to that measure. I don't know if 187 is the right answer or this is the right answer. All I'll say is it was just a severe problem, and we need to find an answer for it. And I'll conclude my remarks.
Committee, any questions? Ms. Schwach, you had mentioned that you presented the problem well, and then said that, but you don't know what the answer is, and I don't really believe that, because you've got several answers proposed before the legislature this session, which we are all very grateful for. And my comments with regard to the bill not moving really has very little to do with the merits of what you're talking about. I think we've got 10, 12, maybe 14 now bills all dealing with changing the way we view the urban growth boundary. And we've made a decision that that virtually none of those will move forward until we have the results of the big look and a more comprehensive plan. That's the reason for the wait. Certainly, the issue you're presenting is something that we need to deal with soon.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Glenn Gross, Linda Ludwig, Bob Rindy.
These are all no's.
All the rest of them. Ms. Ludwig?
Thank you, Mr.
No,
Chair.
No.
Members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. Good morning. Very much appreciate, we got the message from Senator Atkinson, thank you very much. Appreciate Senator Morissette's testimony that this was not a perfect bill, and applaud the substance and concern, but the mechanics simply aren't right within the bill. I don't know if we need to take the time to point that out. I did talk to Senator Morissette and offered to help him with the mechanics as his ideas and concerns move forward.
I think your points would be very important in the interim as we get ready for whatever bills come next time.
Thank you.
Mr. Gross?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The City of Salem opposes Senate Bill 765, however well-intentioned the bill may be.
Mr. Gross, just go ahead and give us your name for the record.
I'm sorry, Glenn Gross. I'm the Urban Planning Administrator for the City of Salem. The City of Salem opposes 765. It would be perhaps impossible for cities to administer the bill in its present form. The bill fails to answer many important questions. The first is why land outside of the urban growth boundary must be used to accommodate the projected so-called conversions. The second is how cities and counties might allow manufactured home parks and subdivisions outside of urban growth boundaries when so many provisions of state law and statewide planning goals prohibit that. The third is how appropriate urban services to a decidedly urban use would be provided outside of a UGB. The fourth question is how cities can plan and zone for uses outside of their jurisdiction. Finally, a fifth question is how cities or counties are to ensure that the land planned and zoned for these parks are affordable. Without answers to such questions, it would be very difficult for us to implement this bill. And even if the bill did provide such answers, it seems likely that the costs to put the bill into effect would far exceed its benefits. The city, therefore, opposes it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. Mr. Rindy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob Rindy with the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and I've turned in a letter, which, and so I won't elaborate on those points. I did send Don Miner some proposed amendments to the bill. I think it, as the, my previous speakers have said, it would be a much better thing to accommodate displaced manufactured housing inside urban growth boundaries rather than out. And it would be a far better thing if cities could be encouraged to zone either existing or new sites for manufactured housing in a manner that dedicates them to that use and does not allow them to convert. And I did send those amendments to Don. I don't know that they got drafted. I think he appropriately pointed out that that's very similar to Senate Bill 187, which the department proposed and that you had a hearing on earlier in the session. If sites have this affordable housing or new or set aside for new housing, but don't allow anything else, and if the state law or if through other means we could encourage cities themselves to keep them as manufactured housing in the future, we won't see this problem. I don't know how to deal with the immediate problem, but I think that is the way to go, and would encourage you to look at that bill one more time.
Okay, thank you very much. Don Schellenberg and Randy Tucker. Thank you, Randy.
Hey, Floyd. You want to hold on the phone a little bit? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Don Schellenberg, representing Oregon Farm Bureau.
Morning.
The committee.
I'm right
speechless.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Schellenberg. Moving right on.
You have my written testimony. I've explained to you a number of times already what the land use planning system is all about. And
yeah, just for you, we were going to amend the bill to put it all on EFU land.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. We just as well do away with land use planning altogether. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wait, there might be some questions with regard to that. No. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, for your testimony on 765. I'll close the public hearing on 765. We're going to move to 891 next. I noticed on Senate Bill 508 that we did have several people sign up for it. There were amendments to that bill that are not ready yet, and so we're going to hold that bill over to this afternoon. But if there's anybody here who cannot be here this afternoon and would like to testify on the bill, I'll let you do it now. Just raise your hand so I know that's the case.
That's the sound of crickets.
And I'm going to open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 891. And Sue, while you're reading it, Gil Kelly, Bob Clay, come on up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 891 allows local government to attach discretionary approval standards or special conditions regulating appearance or aesthetics to residential development with densities of 18 or more dwelling units per acre located within the Metropolitan Service District. There are two proposed amendments, and we did receive a letter of support from Chris Smith, Multnomah County Citizen Representative on Metro Policy Advisory Committee.
Good morning. Go right ahead, whichever one of you would like to start.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Gil Kelly. I'm the Director of Planning for the City of Portland. We're here today to express our support for this bill. I provided you with written testimony, and therefore I'll spare you a long, detailed explanation, but let me just hit a couple of highlights, and then I'd like to turn it over to Bob Clay, Supervising Planner with the Portland Bureau of Planning, who will explain the amendments quite briefly. They're of a housekeeping nature, we believe. With 1 million people expected to move to the Portland metropolitan area over the next 20 years, we're finding that quality design is demanded by our citizens as one of our growth management tools. And this bill would afford us the opportunity to apply at our option and any local city's option, discretionary design review in our medium and high density residential areas. So that probably accounts for less than 10% of the landscape, but a very important part as we make investments in transit and other investments needed to accommodate that growth. We have spoken with, we've done our legwork, spoken with a number of constituent groups. We know of no opposition to this bill and recommend your support for it. We have found that in the areas where we're currently allowed to do it, which is it's limited now in Portland to our central city, to the Gateway Regional Center, and to our historic districts, this process has worked extremely well. It's been very efficient and has produced high-quality design where it's been of use. So we're simply asking for your authorization to expand this tool to other corridors, main streets, town centers, where we have zoned densities for at least 18 units or more per acre. So that's the quick explanation of it. Again, we found that there's a number of support from a number of jurisdictions around the region, not just the city of Portland. And I think Randy Tucker may speak to that today, but we've the small cities in the Portland metro region also would like to avail themselves of this tool. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, my name is Bob Clay. I'm a supervising planner with the City of Portland Bureau of Planning. You have two amendments as part of your packet before you. The first amendment, the dash ones, make three housekeeping changes, technical changes. The first one simply deletes the word of after discretionary approval. And the second one deletes the words jurisdictional boundary and replaces them with urban growth boundary. And the third amendment adds a comma after the words Main Street and deletes the word or after Main Street so that this amendment corrects punctuation in the list of design types that are listed in that amendment. The dash two amendments delete the words deny the application or, and this amendment is drafted basically because we discovered a mistake from a previous draft of the bill. So this, by deleting that phrase, it creates an internal consistency within the bill, whereas it wouldn't have otherwise. The existing statute prohibits a local government from denying a design review application for needed housing when clear and objective review standards are used, so that the proposed section creates an exception to this rule. It allows a local government to apply discretionary standards to design review of needed housing under certain conditions, so that as drafted, the bill language would prohibit a local government from denying design review approval and effectively eliminate the intended exception. So for this reason, the words deny the application or were needed to be deleted from page 2, line 4. So thank you very much. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Committee? So it appears to me, and I think what you just said, is that the dash ones and the dash twos are both necessary to correct the bill.
That's correct.
All right. Okay, thank you both very much. Randy Tucker and Ron Tapsdorf.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I didn't drive down just to beat up on 765. I wanted to speak briefly in Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. I just wanted to offer some brief comments in support of Senate Bill 891. Since Mr. Kelly suggested that I might, I will then refer to the support as well of the region beyond, not just Metro, not just the regional government, that was expressed unanimously by a vote of MPAC, the Metro Policy Advisory Committee, a couple of weeks ago, I guess, for this legislation as well. Metro's interest is in, as you've heard me testify before, we're grappling with how to accommodate 1 million people over the next 25 years in the region. We would prefer to do that by not just absolutely blowing out the urban growth boundary haphazardly. The 2040 growth concept, the long-range plan of the region, focuses development in centers around the region. This is one of the tools that could help to facilitate the development of more dense housing in those specified areas, not just spread throughout the region, but in those specified centers and corridors, et cetera, around the region. To the extent that that higher density development can be accomplished in ways that improve the community rather than creating opposition and hostility, we certainly support that, and that's what this legislation is designed to, in part, to allow to happen. So we believe that it supports the goals of the region as expressed in the 2040 growth concept and the long-range plan for the region, and urge you to pass it out.
Thank you. Mr. Papstorf.
Mr. Chair, Ron Papstorf, representing the city of Gresham. Members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to be here. I'll make this really brief. You have our written testimony in support of Senate Bill 891. Give you a little local perspective from the city of Gresham. For many years, we've had an advisory-only design review process in Gresham. It's been fairly difficult under that model to consistently achieve the types of building quality and design standards that the community is desiring. Recently, a community land use task force, which was a council-appointed group of builders, community interests, developers, and planning commissioners, recommended mandatory design standards and regulations within the city of Gresham. City Council has directed our staff to implement those new standards in order to increase the variety of building styles and improve the quality of building design in downtown Gresham and Civic Neighborhood, two of our highest density urban areas within the city. Within these areas, it's been, we think, extremely difficult to really achieve the community's objectives with just one-size-fits-all standards. We believe it's important in these cases to allow some flexibility to builders to actually achieve the intent of what we're trying to see happen in those highly dense urban areas, and we urge your support of Senate Bill 891.
Committee?
Chair.
Senator Bates.
In reading the bill, I'm a little confused that, first, I support this kind of legislation. I've seen it work over and over again, and Portland's been noted especially for having a city that's been noted internationally for its density and livability, so I don't get me wrong here. Does this bill do what you want it to do? From the point in page 2, it says that special approval standards or special conditions may not be attached in a manner that will deny the application or reduce the density of proposed residential development. I mean, let's say you have a design you want to see on a new building. The builder of that building says, no, I don't want to do it. What's your remedy if you can't deny them?
Mr. Clay, I'm going to invite you back up to the table.
We don't actually have a permit counter at Metro, so I think the city of Portland is probably the best people to answer that question, Mr. Chair and Senator Bates, if that's okay.
Yeah, I just want to be sure it's doing what you want it to do.
Yeah. Here, let me just...
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, if I may, I think what you identified is what we identified as part of the dash two amendments, as we're proposing to remove the deny the application or that phrase. So with the removal of that phrase in the dash two amendments, it does what you've just identified as a concern.
That would take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks, Mr. Clay.
I can still read. Thanks.
Anything else, committee? All right, seeing nothing further, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 891. Open up a work session on Senate Bill 891. And Senator Atkinson, if you could move the dashes 1 and 2 and then the bill.
Mr. Chair, I'd be delighted to move the dash 1 and the dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 891.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson.
Excuse me. Don't they require a motion?
Each one
a separate motion?
You can take them separately.
Mr. Chair, I would amend my first motion and just move the dash ones.
Senator Atkinson moves the dash ones in the Senate Bill 891. Any discussion? Any opposed? Seeing none, the dash ones are adopted and the dash twos.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash two amendments.
Senator Atkinson moves dash twos into 891. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, they are adopted as well.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate Bill 891 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson moves Senate Bill 891 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
I will vote against the motion. I don't like the bill.
Very good. Any other discussion? Any objections? Senator Beyer noted. And with that, motion carries, and the chair will carry the bill. With that, we'll close work session on Senate Bill 891. Committee, before we adjourn, I just want to say a couple things about this afternoon. We have a extremely ambitious agenda this afternoon. I think we've got four bills at least that will have a lot of people here to testify for and against. So be here on time, and if you get a chance, bring your folders to one of your other committees and read them so you got a little idea about what we got going on this afternoon. And with that, we are adjourned.
The other chairs may not want to hear that.
I wasn't here earlier. I wasn't here earlier when you may have said something about 508, but it's being continued till this afternoon.
Yeah, we're going to continue 508 till this afternoon, and which just adds to a pretty packed agenda, but we're going to give it a try, okay? With that, we are adjourned. I just don't like the bit.